Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, it's Donna Marie Doherty with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, three women have been sentenced for withholding information and perverting the course of justice in connection with the murder of a dairy woman. A community campaigner in Donegal says more needs to be done to engage with young people and others to persuade them to vote. The Taoiseach says he's against changing the electoral system for the next European elections in 5 years' time. And a 17-year-old boy has died in a workplace incident in Cavan. These stories in full, plus more to follow. Mark Gallagher has all the latest in sport, coming up around 5:15. Three women have been sentenced for withholding information and perverting the course of justice in connection with the murder of Sojumper Katie Simpson outside Derry. The 21-year-old died in hospital 6 days after she was attacked at her home. Tom Douglas reports.
August 9th of 2020, less than a week after she was attacked, a man, Jonathan James Cresswell, 36, was later sent for trial accused of rape and murder. That trial ended suddenly when he was found dead at his home in April. Today, three women, 30-year-old Hayley Robb, 42-year-old Jill Robinson and 23-year-old Rose de Montmorency Wright, were given suspended sentences. Hayley Robb had admitted to withholding information and perverting the course of justice by washing Cresswell's clothes and cleaning blood in his home. She was sentenced to 2 years in prison. Jill Robinson had admitted to perverting the course of justice also by washing Cresswell's clothes. She was sentenced to 16 months in prison. Rose de Montmorency Wright had admitted to withholding information while knowing of Cresswell's alleged assault on Katie and received a sentence of 8 months. All of those sentences are suspended for 2 years. The PSNI, in a statement issued today, said Katie was adored by her family, adding their sorrow has been deepened by a lack of closure.
A community campaigner in Donegal says more needs to be done to engage with young people and others to persuade them to vote. With turnout in some areas of Letterkenny below 40% last week, there have been calls for a review. On today's 9 till noon show, Katie McCafferty said young people in schools and people with disabilities need to be supported to ensure that their voices are heard and valued.
That doesn't happen in Europe. That the transfers were all over the place, but you could definitely see that in the local elections. There was party transfers and then there was the geographical transfers. And I think you're always going to get that. You do get that in Doyle elections as well, but not as much, you know.
Just before bring Seamus in too, some of the turnouts was incredibly low. You know, I mean, we probably averaged around 50, but like just one in three people were voting in some parts of Letterkenny. I mean, that in itself requires a deep dive to find out. Why are people so disenfranchised with the local political scene?
And the other thing is as well, is it's something that I said about on my Facebook page. We need to look at running mock elections in schools because it's a difficult system to understand for some people. And the other thing is as well, is I registered Jimmy for the first time to vote this year. Jimmy is my 22-year-old with an intellectual disability. And you know, a lot of people, I never bothered to register him before, but I thought, no, he's got to have his say. We need to start trying to engage with these people. Things like, I had to write my own ballot paper out, Greg.
Yeah.
And I tried to let him have his own choice.
The Taoiseach says he's against changing the electoral system for the next European elections in 5 years' time. The final seats for the European Parliament were filled in the early hours of this morning, almost a full week since voters went to the polls. The marathon count in the Midlands Northwest constituency finally ended at 3:30 this morning. Independent Luke Ming Flanagan, Fianna Fáil's Barry Cowan, Fine Gael's Maria Walsh and Nina Carberry and Independent Ireland's Kieran Mullally all successfully crossed the line. There's been criticism elsewhere in Europe this week about how long the Irish system has taken. However, Simon Harris says despite the marathon counts here, he believes the Irish system is transparent and that it should not change.
Here in this country, we value our electoral system, PRS-TV, and we value the Pian Louis and the ballot paper. And you know what? It does take a little bit longer. I'm sure there's times where lots of people here, including the count staff and including the journalists, wish it didn't take quite so long, and definitely candidates, and I can fully understand that. But you know what? Every single vote in Ireland can be seen so transparently, moving from table to table, count to count. There is a lot to be said for that.
Meanwhile, the Tánaiste just says there's no guarantee that Fianna Fáil would have won two seats in the Midlands North West with a two-candidate strategy. Barry Cowan, Lisa Chambers and Donegal's Niall Blaney all ran for the party in the 15-county constituency. However, Barry Cowan was the only Fianna Fáil candidate who was elected, despite the party getting almost 150,000 first preference votes between the three who contested. That's led to suggestions that had they ran two, both would have got a seat. However, Micheál Martin says geographical considerations, such as the large Blaney vote got in Donegal, can't be discounted.
It's not that simple in terms of the wide geographic spread, and one can speculate on these issues, but when I look at the figures here, I'm not so sure that's the conclusion that one could come to. Again, you know, hindsight's a great virtue, but we will evaluate this like every other result and every other election, but it's not that certain that that would have been the case.
A 17-year-old boy has died in a workplace incident in County Cavan. It occurred at a premises in the county shortly after 4:30 p.m. yesterday. The teenager was pronounced dead at the scene. His body has been removed to the mortuary in Cavan General Hospital and a post-mortem examination is to be carried out. The Health and Safety Authority said it is aware of the incident and has launched an investigation. There has been a marginal increase in waiting lists at Letterkenny University Hospital last month. Inpatient and day cases recorded an increase of 0.9%, while outpatients seen a rise of 0.7%. Katie Gillen has more.
The number of people on the inpatient and day case waiting lists at Letterkenny University Hospital currently sits at 1,598, 18 of whom are children. 428 of those patients are on a list for general surgery, followed by 401 who are orthopaedic patients. A further 395 patients are awaiting a gynaecology appointment. Meanwhile, the number of outpatients on a waiting list at Letterkenny is 15,281. 1,887 are children. 2,065 patients are awaiting respiratory medicine appointments, closely followed by 2,038 in the orthopaedic list. Finally, there was 1,852 patients waiting for an appointment in cardiology.
Atlantic Technological University has signed a memorandum of understanding with a social enterprise that redistributes surplus food to establish a partnership that aims to enhance educational opportunities, reduce wood waste and support sustainable practices in food systems. Under the agreement, ATU will provide education and training at QQI Level 6 to personnel linked to community and voluntary organisations and other relevant parties. ATU President Dr. Orla Flynn says the partnership with Food Cloud will look at food waste and supply chain issues using the research the group carried out during the COVID-19 pandemic. Dr. Flynn told Highland Radio News that the partnership grew out of ATU's experience as a user of Food Cloud's services.
We ourselves are users of Food Cloud. You know, we have run a food bank at our Galway City campus, and we're looking to roll that out at our own Letterkenny campus, I think, next year. So as a user, we see firsthand the benefits of Food Cloud. And really interestingly, we learned a lot about Food Cloud in our partnership with them. They do a lot of technology-based work, so the ability to link suppliers directly with kind of end users. So rather than food, you know, food waste that starts at the farm or that's surplus at the farm level, at the producer level, instead of having all that food centralized and then distributed, there are ways that we can connect users with that. And Food Cloud are using that technology. Our role really is around the education piece. So we have a certificate in sustainable food surplus practice. And that is, again, it's a level six special purpose award.
As you've said, it's a level six at the moment. Is there a scope there perhaps to enhance that, bring it up a level or two and actually bring in a research component?
There is. And what was really fantastic, and you will have heard me talking about this before, but one of the real benefits of coming together as ATU is that it allows us to pool our strengths and to harness the full knowledge and capability that we have across the entire university. It was really great at the signing of the MOU. We had colleagues from Donegal, from Sligo and from Galway and from Mayo indeed. We have a lot of expertise in this area.
The rise in popularity of sea swimming has seen 8 outdoor swimming projects in Donegal receive funding from Health Ireland. Junior Health Minister Colin Burke announced today the successful applicants. Donal Kavanagh has more.
Cooldaff, Ned's Point, Dunfanaghy, Carrickfinn Beach, Mount Charles Pier, Killybegs, Rosnalla and Bundoran Outdoor Pool are all set to share €24,000 as part of a €500,000 national scheme. The money will go toward new precast swim shelters with changing facilities across all the locations. The initiative builds on the recent growth in popularity of outdoor swimming by improving the facilities and equipment at designated swimming locations across the country. The funds are being administered by Sport Ireland on behalf of the Department of Health. Applications for the Healthy Ireland funding were received from local sports partnerships in almost every county. Minister Burke says he was encouraged by proposals that will enhance the usability of the many swimming spots right around the country.
23 primary schools in Donegal have been awarded the SFI Curious Minds Award. The programme aims to increase interest in science, technology, engineering and maths among primary school students, parents, teachers nationwide. 22 schools across Donegal received gold awards, while Scoil Ní Féachtaire in Elistrin was presented with the Platinum Award, which is for schools that have already achieved the gold and want to challenge themselves to further integrate STEM into school culture. A list of the full recipients can be found on our website, highlandradio.com. Graffiti was sprayed on the walls and outdoor of recreational facilities of the Oasis Plaza in Oma. Police are asking for the public for assistance. They believe it happened sometime between Sunday and Wednesday last. Those with information should contact police on 101. The time's now approaching 12 minutes past five. Back with sports after this short break. It's just gone 5:15. Mark Gallagher has all the latest in sport.
Thanks, Donna Marie. Good evening. We'll begin with GAA, and the countdown continues to Donegal's All-Ireland Senior Football Championship group stage clash with Clare in Castlebar tomorrow. The big news coming from the camp is that Jason McGee will not be involved in the game after picking up a knock against Cork 2 weeks ago. Highland Radio's GAA analyst Brendan Kilcoyne expects Donegal to secure the victory.
You would expect them to go down to Castlebar, even though it hasn't been a great hunting ground for Donegal of late. But you would expect them to go down against this Clare side that Tyrone put 3:15 past the last day, Oisín, you know. So Donegal going in as favourites, they will feel slightly burnt after being beaten by Cork down there. And particularly the concession of the three goals will have worried them, kind of thing. And I'm sure they've had a couple of weeks now to look at that. And, you know, if they can be that bit tidier, perhaps there was an element of fatigue, mental fatigue kind of thing, as well as physical fatigue down in Páirc Éireann. But this gives them an opportunity on Sunday on Saturday to kind of set that straight, give themselves the best opportunity to finish top of the group and straight into a quarter final.
Donegal need to win and hope Tyrone beat Cork if Jim McGuinness's side are to go straight through to the quarterfinals. A win will, at the very least, secure a prelim fixture. A win or a draw for Cork over Tyrone in Tullamore will see them top the group, so there are a number of permutations that could play out. Tyrone have made one change for their team to face the Rebels, as Con Kilpatrick comes into the middle of the field to replace Joe Oguz. Both of those games have a 3 o'clock throw-in. Oisín Kelly, Martin McHugh and Brendan Devaney will have full live match commentary tomorrow afternoon in Castlebar. Meanwhile, Derry manager Mickey Hart has also named his side for tomorrow's must-win game against Westmeath in Park Essler. Kieran McFaul and Owen McAvoy have been named to start, with Niall Toner and Conor Doherty dropping to the bench. On to soccer, and Munich is the stage for the grand opening of Euro 2024 tonight. Tournament hosts Germany face Scotland in a Group A contest. Kickoff is at 8. Steve Clark's side are big underdogs as they aim to become the first Scottish team to make it out of the group stages of a major tournament. Seamus Coleman says he's proud and honoured to be heading into a 16th season at Everton. The Republic of Ireland captain has already played more than 400 times for the Toffees. Upon agreeing a one-year contract extension, Coleman will be able to play in Everton's final ever season at Goodison Park, and says he feels like he still can add something to the club.
If I felt that, you know, physically I wasn't capable, or, you know, wasn't fit to go out and play on a match day, or people were going past me, like I said, numerous times, and I would know. But at the minute, I feel good. I still feel like I can do a job for this football club on and off the pitch. And, listen, all the special memories here and it being the last season at Goodison, I think, it's a nice way to go into this year.
Manchester United say they're going to invest £50 million in their Carrington training base. Work will start next week, with all areas of the building being refurbished to deliver what they call a world-class facility. On to golf, and with five holes remaining of his second round at the US Open, Rory McIlroy is now four under par. Shane Lowry remains four over with six to play. Later, Seamus Power resumes from one over and Tom McGibbon from four over par. Overnight leader Patrick Cantlay goes out from five under. Stephanie Meadow and Leona Maguire are both three under par as their second rounds at the Mayer LPGA Classic draw to a close. Ali Ewing leads there on nine under par. In other golf news, Ballyliffin Golf Club is hosting the Amateur Open Championship for the first time next week. Pre-qualifying is taking place today, while practice is on this weekend. And then 288 players will contest stroke and match play competitions from Monday until Saturday. Spectator admission to the Amateur Open is free for the full week. In boxing, at the National Boy and Girl Junior Cadet Championships, Roisin Hegarty of Illy's Golden Gloves takes on Lily Daly of West End Boxing Club in a 60kg semi-final this evening. Dunfanaghy's Eddie McBride will fight tomorrow. In cricket, Ireland's narrow hopes of making the T20 World Cup Super 8s have been ended by rain in Florida. Their group game with the United States has been called off due to a waterlogged pitch. The decision to call off the fixture means the US will advance to the Super 8s at the expense of Pakistan. And finally, in motorsport, Rhys Irwin has announced that he has signed for Gearlink Kawasaki and Team Green UK for the remainder of the British Superbike season. Irwin has made the tough decision to leave Astro Suzuki as he travels to Knockhill in Scotland for round 4 of the championship this weekend. And also on the subject of motorsport, we will have a Donegal International Rally preview on tomorrow's Saturday Sport programme. We'll be joined in studio by former winners James Cullen and Rory Kennedy and former national winner Damien Gallagher. The Donegal Rally preview will air in the final hour between 5 and 6 tomorrow. That's all from the Sports Desk today. Have a very good evening. Donna Murray.
Thanks, Mark. August Anish and Nuked Le Colm Ferreter.
Jimmer Natash of Colm Ferreter and Shop. Tafal Chakarta Egudras Nigeltukta Riva Anestiacht Fogarha Eg Run Nigeltukta Idogri Kahivamshara Fuin Air Sugeltukt Ta an Anestiacht Huntusa Fogarha Lahai Glass Valley Garam Valley Parkana Forisha August Bali Rahayukta Carter Bali Shulu Janua Foiled on Cade Ur Mar in Le Chonskadal Ahorhus Takiart the Sports and We Fuin Air A mask na dogri ta shuloj bruch an mwelen balan a finye, agus shuloj iron roj wakish chonde gun an all, at ha ijajal liam villion euro fwin skim. Ta clar ibra gnevyakti falsiha ig glornigail a horhis tror, da dini at ha ig agru grupi sugarha frijman nigailige, is clar gnevyakti at ha sa falsihan uur clar spree da grupi sugarha, inner fagers. Mirana a ronu as kids of fiha gnev fui trocha tema. Is he Suzy e Galahirsh as lecher kennen at ha imon an lor ur shaw, agus a bay she an ash da grupi sugarha agus chile mar ean. Shol her fela alinya an yarigal in runglan crawley and amara jasahan erin kuigul lad jeg egakuiga clug. August ta Clare Emmerty, August Brochure Nefela, Le Sholo on Foss, August Tacadis Jas, Siren Ashke, August ta She Oskulchet Don Fobble, Egotchenya. August S. E. Murren Bradley, Ambassador Lahai, Nahokaj Vliantul, Crinu Nanog, Ata Fogarhe Don Jerushart and Yashaw Foss, August Bay Emmerty, St. Ear Hushkart, Yanis Kaluru Halters Nanog. Agus be karta toga da fwaishti shansa glaku as early she kyol jafrile eg onad champel croin agus in garam skull ku olu agus be kalura kolterha da fwaishti on fasta ijan the kurcha and lech a lifer agus to gaho olas fina hemak de yeligulier egen sieve crinu na nog bunkai e shun mahoche eligulier slanagus banak.
Thanks, Colm. Aer Lingus pilots will ballot for industrial action for a second time. It's after the airline queried the validity of the initial vote, which was done by electronic means. Andrew Louth has this report.
In a letter to members, IALPA says it will be conducting a paper ballot from today until 11 o'clock on Monday morning. It will ask if members wish to vote in favour of industrial action up to and including an all-out strike and a row over pay. Pilots based in Dublin and Cork have been given locations in which to vote, with the executive recommending they vote yes to industrial action. In a statement, Aer Lingus says it had queried the validity of the last ballot, which had been conducted electronically. It says it notes the reballot using paper means. It follows discussions between the union and the airline, which broke down last night without agreement.
Hamas claims two hostages held in the Gaza Strip were killed in an Israeli airstrike. The militant group says it happened when the southern city of Rafah was attacked a few days ago. Senior Hamas officials say they don't know how many Israeli captives are still alive. Meanwhile, UNICEF spokesperson James Elder, who's in Gaza, says not enough aid is getting to those who need it.
In May, we've had half the aid trucks that have come in from April, half. And May, of course, was also the month of the invasion of Rafah. That was also, if we look at words that are being used, because I guess words are important, or at least to punch holes in them, that was also the limited, quote-unquote, offensive, the limited offensive in Rafah that displaced a million people who were pushed into Rafah.
Enoch Burke has described as insulting as a suggestion that he may be released from prison while the Wilson's Hospital School is closed for the summer holidays. He went back before the High Court today for the latest review of his detention at Mountjoy Prison, where he's been held for refusing to stay away from the school. Court's correspondent Frank Greerney reports.
This is Enoch Burke's second stint behind bars for refusing to obey a court order to stay away from Wilson's Hospital School, and once again he declined the opportunity to secure his immediate release by refusing to give an undertaking to comply. The school suggested looking into the possibility of him being released during the summer holidays with a view to reviewing the situation when the school reopens. However, Mr. Burke described that as insulting and instead wanted the court to hear an application to set aside the court order, which he described as unsound. The judge refused, but did agree to sit later this month to hear submissions on whether he even has the jurisdiction to hear such an application. In the meantime, Mr. Burke will remain in prison unless he decides to purge his contempt. Frank Graney at the High Court.
Looking now to weather, sunny spells and scattered showers this evening. Later this evening, rain will develop in the west together with strong southerly winds. Further showers tonight, some heavy, lowest temperatures of 6 to 9 degrees in light to moderate breezes, and sunshine and showers tomorrow. Highest temperatures then of 14 to 17 degrees, and light to moderate northwest winds will be fresh for a time at the coast. To conclude this evening's news, three women have been sentenced for withholding information and perverting the course of justice in connection with the murder of a dairy woman. A community campaigner in Donegal says more needs to be done to engage with young people and others to persuade them to vote. The Taoiseach says he's against changing the electoral system for the next European elections in 5 years' time, and a 17-year-old boy has died in a workplace incident in Cavan. That's all for now from Highland Radio News. We'll be back with headlines at 6 o'clock.
The obituary notices for this Friday evening, June 14th. The death has taken place of Dominic Gallagher, Fanna Boy, Gordahork. His remains will repose at Gordahork funeral premises today until 8 p.m. and tomorrow from 2 p.m. to 8 p.m. Rosary both nights at 8 p.m. Funeral from there on Sunday for 11 a.m. Requiem Mass in Christ the King Church, Gordahork, with burial afterwards in the adjacent cemetery. The death has taken place at the Lake House Nursing Home, Portnabla, of Tommy Montgomery, Montermelon, Hornhead, Dunfanaghy, reposing at his home from this evening, private to family only please. Wake tomorrow from 12 noon to 8 p.m. Everyone welcome. Funeral service in Holy Trinity Church, Hornhead Road, Dunfanaghy, on Sunday at 2:30 p.m. Burial afterwards in Clondahorkey Cemetery. Family time on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only please. Donations in lieu, if desired, to Holy Trinity Church and the Lake House Comfort Fund, care of any family member or James Harkin, funeral director. The death has occurred of Desi Kelly, 13, Knocknamona Park, Letterkenny, reposing at his home until 10 p.m. this evening and 12 noon to 10 p.m. tomorrow, with rosary both nights at 9 p.m. Family time on the morning of the funeral, please. Funeral from there on Sunday, going to St. Noonan's Church, Letterkenny, for funeral mass at 12 noon, with burial afterwards in the family plot in Conwell Cemetery. Funeral mass can be viewed live on Church Services TV. Family flowers only. Donations, if desired, to the Coronary Care Unit or Medical 4, Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member or Pascal Blake Funeral Director, Stony Arch, New Line Road, Letterkenny. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to HighlandRadio.com.